they stay there.
All right, welcome to the Birds and the Berg Football Podcast. I am your host, Fred Halbig. Couple big wins this week for the Eagles and the Steelers. Joining me today, as always, my man Jay. What's up?
Man, it's always a brighter morning after a win.
God, I have it's like I have reason to live this week. Huge win for the Eagles to get back to 4-4.
Huge, yeah.
They needed that one.
Yeah, definitely.
The season is back on, baby. They're going back to the Super Bowl. Doug Peterson is the greatest coach that ever lived again.
Yeah.
And everything is right in the world.
It's crazy. They showed a thing last night during a Steelers game, the standings for each conference. And it's just – yours one is really the only one that's close because Dallas has, what, three losses now?
Yeah, Dallas is 4-3. We're 4-4, but they own the tiebreaker, obviously.
Every other NFC team has one loss. Or zero, and Dallas is just like, oh, here, take the division.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We'll see. I think there's a lot of fake teams out there, though.
Could be. Are you still talking about San Fran not being that good?
Yes. I don't trust Jimmy G when it comes down to it. The Packers, I'm still iffy on. The Eagles beat them. Yeah, we'll see. The NFC, like, I'm not really – the only team that I would really be worried about in the NFC is the Saints. I think they're legit.
Yeah, especially with Breeze back and the way he looked Sunday.
Yeah, but I think the rest of the team, they're good, but I think they would be beatable, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. All right, before we get into our reviews of the games from this past weekend, it's officially trade deadline day.
Yes, it is.
Today. So you'll be hearing this. There could be some big moves that happen afterwards, or there could be some big news that happened while we're recording.
Yep.
Might have some breaking news. You never know. But there was a couple trades yesterday that happened, one that involved the Philadelphia Eagles. But we'll go over the other two first. It was Duke Johnson to the Cardinals. Jay, I didn't see the compensation. Was it a conditional pick or something?
I honestly haven't seen
anything. Yeah, I didn't see anything on that. I don't think it was for a lot. I think it was like a conditional pick next year. But Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, Drake, yeah.
I said Duke Johnson that whole time. He was already traded earlier. Yeah, but Kenyon Drake from Miami went to Arizona. They had some injuries at running back, so they needed to make a move. That seems like an all right move. It's just weird to me to see these teams that really don't have a shot at the playoffs.
Yeah.
Giving away assets and making these kinds of trades.
Yeah, so. It was – I mean, look, it's a good move for the Cardinals because you got David Johnson hurt. Their other running back
that
just
Chase
went
Edmonds.
Down. Yeah, Edmonds just went down. It's a good move, too, because Duke Johnson – or, yeah, Jesus.
Dude, Jesus, man. Why does I feel like his name should be Duke Johnson?
Same running back, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Kenyon Drake gives you that threat out of the backfield for receiving, fast back. So it's good for Kyler Murray. He has that additional weapon now. So I think it's a good move because he's still relatively young.
Yeah, he's not bad. I mean, it's just weird seeing these teams make moves. Because the other team that made a big trade yesterday was the Giants trading for Leonard Williams. And they gave up a third and a conditional fifth that could become a fourth if they re-sign him to a deal after this year. Because he's a free agent after this season.
Yes.
Like, that's a move I just don't get. Like, I understand Leonard Williams is a young interior defensive lineman who's shown some potential, but he's kind of disappeared over the past couple years.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing with him. It's potential.
Yeah. I don't know. If I'm the Giants, I'm just
– it's a weird move.
I'm holding on to those picks and building around Daniel Jones at this point. But you never know. We'll see. Like I said, he was a top 10 pick 5 years ago or whatever. So, you know, teams thought he was something special. Maybe he still could be.
Maybe.
It's just a weird move to me for the Giants. They're two and – I mean, this is going to be a high third-round pick.
Yes.
This is going to be a possible – you know what I mean? Like, close to a second-round pick if they
– And basically, you're giving them a fourth, too, because you're going to re-sign this guy.
You have to.
You're not trading a third-round pick to just let him walk.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. So and he's going to command big money, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So as far as the Kenyon Drake deal goes, it's a conditional sixth round pick this year.
Okay, so that's nothing.
Or next year's draft, yeah. So, okay. that's actually a good deal for Arizona.
Yeah, not bad. All right, so then the Eagles made a move yesterday. They sent a 2021 fourth-round pick, pretty high draft pick, to Cleveland for defensive end slash outside linebacker Jannard Avery. I never heard of this guy.
Not until yesterday, no.
Yeah, had to do some research on him. Supposedly he was a beast at Memphis. He put up good combine numbers. He's smaller-ish, but I believe he'll be a good defensive end in the Eagles wide nine scheme. They just need guys that can get to the quarterback, and I guess they really like this guy. There was reports that said they've been trying to trade for him for like a year now.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So he's in his second year, 4.5 sacks last year. So
in his rookie some promise.
Year, yeah, I think what was he, a sixth round pick, fifth? Okay,
yeah.
So 4.5 sacks in his rookie year. Hasn't played much this year. They said that they asked him to gain some weight. He did. He slowed down, and they didn't like it. So
yeah, he's your prototypical undersized defensive end that the Eagles love to bring in.
Yeah,
but. Hey, if he can get to the quarterback, he'll be a situational pass rusher for us. Give some of those other guys a break. So you never know. Like I said, I can't really judge this move until I get to see this guy play. I don't really know much about him.
Yeah, and I mean, there's people that are smarter than us out there saying this is a good deal. They like this kid.
Yeah.
And evidently the Eagles like them because they've been trying for a while to acquire him. So
some other trade stuff going on, some rumors that – I've been hearing about the Eagles so far this morning is they've been trying to go after Darius Slay from the Lions, but the price is probably going to be too much.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this a little bit last week. I don't know if they should go after corner. I feel like wide receiver is a way bigger need for this team right now.
We both agree on this. You had Mills come back who looked good in his first action. You still have a couple slot guys coming back. I think
Darby came back and played well this past week, although the Bills' offense is terrible.
Yeah, that's true. But your more pressing need is absolutely wide receiver. So I don't see why that's not the top priority.
It has to be. A couple of names out there they've been linked to. Obviously, Robbie Anderson from the Jets. I don't know how much it would take to get him. I probably wouldn't want to give up more than a third and a fifth or something like that.
Okay.
And then I also saw news this morning that says the Saints and the Eagles are interested in A.J. Green. I know we talked about that a little bit. I wouldn't give much for A.J. Green, but it's going to cost a lot.
Yeah, age and injuries. That's just, yeah.
Also, Jeff McClain, one of the Eagles beat writers, also said that he's hearing some stuff that the Eagles might be some sellers at this point. They might be trying to trade offensive lineman Halipuli Vaivaitai.
Okay.
And also Vinny Curry is on the trade block. After picking up this new DN, he's kind of expandable. Nothing else. Yeah, he also had a thing that said running back Le'Veon Bell could be had for the right price. But obviously I don't think the Eagles –
The Eagles aren't touching him. No.
Yeah, not at that. Not at his.
No. Unless you're going to play him strictly at wide receiver.
Yeah, not at his cap hit or any of that. So, so we'll see. This pod's probably going to be dropping around, 10:30, 11. Trade deadline is till 4 o'clock. So there's plenty of time to be making moves. I do feel like the Eagles will be making a couple more moves. And I think they will try to get a receiver in at some point.
Yeah,
they have to. Anything on the Steelers? They're probably done making moves. They made their big splash.
I mean, there's the rumors out there that they're trying. They might be some sellers. Artie Burns' name keeps popping up. Mike Hilton, the slot corner, his name keeps popping up. because Mike Hilton's a free agent after this. I don't think that you move him. I think you try to keep that kid in-house as much as you can. Artie Burns, on the other hand, he doesn't play at all, and he's walking after this year.
He's walking at the end of the year,
yeah. So if you can get a sixth, seventh-round pick for him, I would move him.
Okay. There's one thing I want to see today and one thing only.
All right.
I want to see Nelson Aguilar's dumb ass get traded off this team so bad. He is the worst. I don't care what it takes. Please, somebody. If I'm Howie Roseman, I'm calling. I'm just saying, I will literally give you Nelson Aguilar and a fifth for a seventh. Like, just please, for the love of God, take this bum off this team. Because he sucks. The Eagles won this game this past weekend. Obviously, we'll get into it a little bit. But he was irrelevant again, and he just needs to go. And if anybody would take him, please. I don't know if there's any NFL GMs out there listening to this. Please just get him off the Eagles. All right. So we'll go into the reviews now. I'll start with the Eagles-Bills game, and then we'll get into that awesome win for the Steelers last night against the Miami Dolphins. All right, so the Eagles played the Bills Sunday. They ended up winning that game 31-13. Really good showing for the Eagles offense this week, powered by the running game, powered by Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders. There was a reason why for that. It was really crappy weather up there in Buffalo. They said the wind didn't dip below 25 miles an hour, and it was high as like 50 miles an hour. So it was really hard to throw the ball. Yeah. Yeah, so they stuck with the running game, and the offensive line just absolutely dominated the Bills. And Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders just killed it. The team total had 41 carries for 218 yards and 3 touchdowns. Yeah. So that was led by Jordan Howard with 23 carries, 96 yards, and a touchdown. And then, of course, Miles Sanders had that 65-yard touchdown run. Explosive.
Finally he's showed. Fast.
Yeah, he looked good. He did get hurt in this game, but Doug said yesterday in his press conference that he's day-to-day. He's going to be fine. There's no structural damage or anything to his shoulder, so he should be available to play this coming week. And then Carson Wentz, he looked good in this game. He had a rating of 104.9. He made the throws he had to make. He was a game manager, and in that kind of situation where you can run the ball like that and the wind is so bad, you know, that's all he needed to be. He just didn't need to make mistakes.
Yeah.
He was 17-24, 172 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. He led this team. This was the first time in a while I felt like he had complete control of everything out there. Like I said, his numbers weren't big, but he just looked like he was in command of this game. And that Doug didn't put the handcuffs on him like we were talking about last week. So I was impressed with Wentz this week. Did you get to watch any of the game?
Oh yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought he looked good for what they asked him to do.
Like you said, the weather was crappy, so you're not gonna see an air and out attack, but he looked really good in this game.
Yeah, made a couple nice throws into the wind that were hard. He made a couple nice plays with his legs, which you like to see. Where he picked up some big first downs on third downs.
8 for 35.
Yeah.
Rushing.
Yeah, that was good to see. So a couple of my game balls for this game is the offensive line. The whole offensive line, they just dominated. Andre Dillard, the first round pick, has come in for a Hall of Famer, Jason Peters, and hasn't missed a beat. He's had a couple rookie moments, obviously, you know, against some pass rushers, but he's really starting to settle in, and at this point, I don't know. Do you go back to Jason Peters? You know, it's
is he on the team next year, Jason Peters?
No, the way his contract's set up, is basically it.
Then I would say no. If Dillard is holding his own and he's looking good in that spot, then why go back to a guy who's not going to be there next year?
Because he's a Hall of Famer for the Eagles, and he's Jason Peters, man.
I get that. He's Jason Peters. But so you're going to hinder this
the development of this kid. Yeah. See, that's where it becomes tough. If he's playing well,
you play him.
Yeah. I mean, I would stick with Dillard because at this point, this team needs to worry about getting younger and looking forward to the future.
Yeah.
As well as trying to win now. Peters has not been able to stay healthy the last few years. He consistently comes out of games. He's now missed multiple games for like the third year in a row.
Yeah, and that's the other thing with him. He is injury prone late, yeah. Like the last couple of years. So,
like, don't get me wrong. I love Jason Peters, everything he's done for this franchise.
Yeah.
It's one of the best trades they've ever made. I believe he's a future Hall of Famer, but at this point, I think – Doug said he's going to be out a few more weeks. So if Dillard's playing good, I think I stick with the Rook.
Yeah. Unless it collapses for the young kid, I'd say you got to stick with him for the rest of the year.
Yeah. All right. Well, back to this game real quick. Nothing really much else from the offense. My other game ball. I said the offensive line. Doug Peterson. I think he finally came out and when he's like forced to run the ball and he knows things are going to be different, like on that short week against Green Bay, his offense was more creative. Sunday against the Bills, it was like his offense was more creative because he knew he was just going to have to line up and run the ball. And I just hope he sticks with it. He called a really good game. He used a lot of different kinds of motions to get guys open or to scheme the running game better. On Sanders' 65-yard touchdown run, he had Wentz flanked by Jordan Howard and Sanders at the same time, and Howard came up and made a huge block. He was basically like a fullback on that play.
Yeah.
Picked up a linebacker, and that sprung Sanders for that touchdown. You know, so I thought he put a few different wrinkles in this week, and it really paid off. And I'm hoping this is something he continues to do for the rest of the year, or, you know, because he just his offense was just too bland, too vanilla. I bitched about that after the Cowboys game, and, you know, it's just he needs to stick with this. It has to continue to go this way. They're going to go right back to looking like a terrible offense. So,
yeah,
I thought he had a great game.
Yeah, great play calling, and it was against a good defense too. So it's not like you can sit here and say, oh, well, he was running it on a bad team. No, the Bills' defense is legit.
Yeah.
They're really good, and you guys handled them. And it was a great scheme that he had for that game, and you guys won. So
yeah, that offensive line just beat them up, and Jordan Howard pounded the ball. And by the end of that game, they looked defeated. They looked like they didn't want to tackle anybody anymore.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to the defense. I thought the defense had a really good game, but I don't think it's saying much. I don't think we really learned too much about the defense this week because Josh Allen and the Bills offense is pretty bad.
Really bad. There's nothing there.
Yeah, they couldn't really run the ball unless it was Josh Allen himself running. He would make one read, and then he would try to run. The defensive line did a good job getting after him. I thought they did have a lot of pressure. This was Fletcher Cox's best game. He's finally starting to look healthy, hopefully, and bounce back. He had a sack and a half. Brandon Graham had a sack, and then he also had a hit on Josh Allen on a running play and forced a fumble, which was huge. Huge. That was towards the end of the second quarter, right before halftime. The Eagles were down 7-3. They forced a fumble. And we're able to score with like 20 seconds left right before half, then go up 10-7 and then score again. And it was basically over after that. The secondary, you can't really judge anything off of this. Like I said, they weren't able to throw the ball because of the wind, and the Bills offense isn't very good. But I thought, you know, Mills and Darby, I think they're the best pair of corners that the Eagles have and should be the starters going forward.
Oh yeah.
So we'll see. They have the Bears coming up this week. Mitch Trubisky's terrible too, but no, they got a couple better pass catchers. So, and the weather shouldn't be as bad that week.
Yeah, but yeah. And I mean, with your secondary in this game, it was, you were either going to be, this is what they should have done, or you get picked apart by Josh Allen and realize how bad you are.
Yeah. And I mean,
they did what they should have done.
Yeah. I still think they're bad.
Yeah.
So we'll see when they play. I'm not really, like I said, I'm not worried about Trubisky, but then you have Tom Brady and Russell Wilson coming up the 2 weeks after that.
Yes.
So.
Yes. But I'm saying, like, coming out of this game, you weren't going to be like, okay, this secondary's fixed. Even if they picked them off seven times, you're like, well, he's that bad.
Yeah.
That offense is not good. So.
But overall, I thought it was a good game. Some encouraging news from Doug Peterson yesterday was some of these guys are getting back to practice this week. Avante Maddox, our slot corner, is going to be working into practice. He's coming off a concussion and a neck injury from a few weeks ago. And then DeSean Jackson. He said DeSean Jackson is going to work into practice this week. And another beat writer, Les Bowen, he actually works in the Eagles building. He's real close with the team. Said yesterday on a radio show that he believes DeSean Jackson is going to suit up and play in this weekend's game against Chicago.
Wow.
So that's huge.
Yeah, that's the biggest news you guys need right now.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the only thing that worries me, though, is that him getting hurt again. And there was
– it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. And the injury he has, he can't come back from and be 100% without – he has to get surgery in the offseason.
Wow.
So he's going to be playing through pain the rest of the year, or he's going to re-aggravate it, have to get surgery, and his season's going to be over. So that's why I think it's imperative that the Eagles still make a move for a speed receiver or some type of receiver before today's 4 o'clock deadline.
Yeah.
But if DeSean Jackson can get out there and give us anything for the rest of the year, it'll be a positive. This offense desperately needs some speed. They need more playmakers. Thankfully, Miles Sanders is not injured because he's been their best playmaker on offense. Big play guy.
Yeah, so. And that's the one thing that I didn't like too much coming from this game is he only touched the ball six times.
Well, he got hurt in the third quarter.
Oh, that's right. I thought it was later in the game. Okay.
No, after that long touchdown run, I'm pretty sure he might have played like another snap or two, and then he was done.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was hoping he'd get more carries too. He only had three carries for 75 yards.
And then three catches on three targets, so.
Yeah.
But
he's,
I mean,
dynamic, man.
He's so good.
I was bitching about him last week or whatever, or saying that his vision isn't there. But he's a rookie. You know, he's got the talent. He's got, you know, he's fast. He's explosive.
Mm-hmm.
Once he just settles down and the game slows down for him, I think he's going to be a really good running back. And then Jordan Howard. I need to talk about how good that trade is by Howie. That's turning out to be an awesome
really
trade.
Really underrated trade.
Yeah.
Like he's really coming in and paying off for you guys.
We gave up, I think, a fifth for him.
Yes, and somewhere around there.
He's been our most consistent offensive player this year. He always seems to fall forward. He's like never has any negative plays.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they can get him re-signed. He's on the last year of his rookie deal. I'm hoping maybe during the bye week how he can get something done and maybe extend Howard. I think Howard and Sanders would be an awesome backfield for the years to come. Like, I think they complement each other very well, and they'd be good together. So we'll see. But big win for the Eagles. They are now back to 4-4 halfway through the year. The rest of their schedule starts to get easier after these next couple weeks. They are only on the road, I think, three more times the rest of the year. They have three straight home games coming up. It's set against Chicago. Then they're on their bye week. Then they have New England and Seattle. Those are all tough games. I think Chicago's beatable. We'll get into that when we drop our preview pod. I think Chicago's beatable. Obviously, New England is who they are. And Seattle's tough, but at least it's in Philadelphia. They don't have to travel to the West Coast.
Oh, yeah.
I know West Coast teams have a hard time coming east and playing. So we'll see. If they can win two of those games by chance, two out of those three, they're going to be set up really nicely going into their final five games because they have a lot of winnable games. They have a game against the Redskins. They have two games against the Giants, a game against the Dolphins. And then obviously they have a big matchup with Dallas, but that's in Philadelphia as well.
Man, that's going to be a huge game.
Huge game. That's week. I thought it was week 17. It's actually week 16, but that could be for the division at that point.
Yeah.
The Cowboys have a really hard schedule coming up playing. I'm pretty sure the Patriots and the Saints are sprinkled in there. So it's going to be a tight division, mm-hmm. And if the Eagles have finally turned the corner, I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, I don't believe the Bills are as good as their 5-1 record was, but they have a chance. They have a chance, and I believe in them. I'm back on it, baby. I believe in them.
I love you so much. Every week.
Oh, yeah. It's a roller coaster of emotions.
It's just, that's why I hate this goddamn sport.
They'll lose to Mitch Trubisky and the Bears, and I'll be cursing them out again. But I'm back on the bandwagon. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got for the Eagles. Let's go to Pittsburgh last night, where they gave Steelers fans quite a scare in that first half, but were able to pull it off against the Dolphins. What was it, 27-14 win?
Yeah, so as Fred just said, last night, Monday Night Football, Steelers improved to 3-4. They beat the 0-7 Miami Dolphins 27-14. Before we jump into it, remember this is the Dolphins. So everything so I say, you have to remember this is a bad team.
I'm going to say I'm getting this right out of the way. Right now, before you even get into it, you can talk about it once you get to it. That 3rd and 20 all-out blitz.
Yeah, I have it.
With man-to-man coverage has to be the worst defense. I swear to God they did that shit on purpose because they're trying to lose.
Yeah, I have a note written down.
That
Fred
play
go.
Call. Did you watch? Did you
watch
that
corner
on the play? It was man-to-man coverage, and he just stood there and let Deontay Johnson.
Yeah. You know who that was, too?
That was Xavier Howard.
Howard, yes. Their best defensive player played off, I would say, maybe about 20 yards, maybe even more than that. And
just let him run. And didn't
Johnson
even
hit the slant.
Him.
He didn't run after Johnson until Johnson had already caught the ball and ran about 5 yards. And by that
and
point,
he wasn't even trying to run. He was, jogging. Just
no.
Like, ugh. How do you all-out blitz and just leave three guys back there and man-to-man coverage on 3rd and 20?
And you know
then
what?
You don't even cover the guy you're supposed to.
Yeah. And that play changed the game because that really gave Mason a little bit of confidence.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
God.
Yeah, we'll jump in. We'll get
Miami.
To that.
Miami.
So, yeah, you have to remember this is Miami. They're awful team. But a win is a win is a win. You take it. This gets you to 3-4 now with two tough games coming up, Indy and then the Rams.
Ugh.
So, yeah. And then after that, the schedule really eases out, but those next two games are going to be really tough. So, let's just jump right into it. Mason Rudolph was 20 for 36, 251 yards, two touchdowns, an interception. Early, he looked like he was still concussed. He just was not comfortable back there. The pass rush.
I don't know about him, man.
It was – everyone says he was rusty. I think that hit did more to him than people were realizing. I think it shook him.
I just don't think he's that good.
Second half, he looked better. He looked
better
in the second half.
I swear to God, they run the same play. Why did they seem like they only let him throw a fade pass to the outside?
Well, because Miami wasn't
coming. 40 times.
Yeah, Miami wasn't coming out of man, and they were just like, we're faster than you. We're going to beat you. And he had him a couple times, but he overthrew a couple guys, underthrew some guys. So, I understand what you're saying about running that play constantly, but that's what they were showing. So he was going to take
the shot. The jury's still out on Mason. I don't know. I'm not too impressed with him.
I think he is going to be a good gap quarterback.
Like backup quarterback.
Well, when Ben retires, you use him for a year until you get your guy in there.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's going to be.
And I don't even think Steelers fans really like him that much because I got a bunch of text messages from people where a lot of people were calling for Duck Dynasty out there.
Well, look, the way he looked in that first quarter, yeah. That's why I'm not an NFL head coach, but I would have thought about putting Duck in there. Because Mason looked at that – anytime he was getting bumped, he panicked. And there was times where he was holding the ball for 3 to 4 seconds. Now, you can't – you don't know if anybody was open because you can't see it on the TV feed. But there had to be something there, and he just wasn't seeing anything. I think that he was nervous until he really got hit. And he realized, okay, I'm okay. Because he did that scramble.
Yeah, his dumbass took a big-ass shot to the jaw. I'm surprised that wasn't a penalty. He's lucky he didn't get knocked out again.
They said because he was established as a runner.
That don't mean shit. Because the NFL has a rule this year where you can't lower your helmet at any point into another ball carrier.
Yeah, yeah. In that first half, he threw a lot of passes behind the receivers. He looked really rusty. His interception was awful. It was just a floater, and Xavier Howard just jumped it, picked it off. He also had another interception that was called back when the corner stepped out, but I put that more on James Washington than anything. Washington went up, had his hands on the ball, and it bounced off his hands.
Yeah.
Held the ball too long. Line didn't give him much help early either. Me and you were talking last night during the game. They were just getting pushed around. Miami just looked better in that first quarter. Looked much better in the second half for him. Threw the ball a lot better. Great touchdown to Juju. Just threw it up there. Juju went over top of the corner and scored. It was a great pass from him.
Juju finally looks good.
Yeah. Juju, 5 receptions, 103 yards, 1 touchdown. Yeah. I mean, like I said at the beginning, you have to. It's Miami. But Juju looked really good in this game, made a lot of good adjustments, and he had Xavier Howard on him a lot, too. So that's their best defender, and he made plays. So to me, the player of the game was James Conner. 23 rushes, 145 yards, 1 touchdown. He was
It's definitely the best he's looked all year.
Yeah, yeah. Against Miami. But even early when the Steelers are struggling, he still looked good. He was breaking tackles. His pass blocking tonight was amazing. He kept stepping up in the gap and putting some of their guys on the ground. So he looked good. But again, Conner got hurt.
Injured. I heard it was an AC joint sprain.
Yeah, garbage time. He went to the ground, landed on his shoulder. They're saying AC joint sprain. Mild is what they're saying right now. So there is a good chance he'll play against Indy. This is the same injury he suffered his rookie year during preseason, and he missed a preseason game, which you really can't judge much on that. But that was his right shoulder, and this is his left shoulder. So we'll learn more today during Tomlin's press conference. I would assume he already had the MRI. So we'll know for sure. I think we're dropping another podcast Thursday, so we'll let you know what's going on with Conner by then. And then the defense. Defense played lights out in the second half, let up 14 points in the first quarter, but you had short field there, and then Miami just drove down the field for the other touchdown. Bad tackling on that second touchdown to Allen Hurns. It was awful. Minka Fitzpatrick, 2 interceptions. He's really paying off what you paid to get him. The 2 interceptions, shut up.
Nope, first round pick, that's too much.
Nah, he's the future.
He could have 10 interceptions this year, and it's still too much.
His first interception came off of a tip pass. Second interception was almost like a punt, but he tracked it good, caught it. So you take 2 interceptions from him. TJ Watt was a monster on defense in that second half. 2 sacks. I think he had 3 forced fumbles. One of them was a strip sack. Just unblockable in that second half. And with an abdomen injury, too. So,
yeah, it sounds like he has a sports hernia that's kind of waiting.
What it could be, but
a core muscle injury?
I think they're saying abdomen. That's all they're saying. That's all I'm hearing. So I don't know. I hope it's not that. We'll see.
I mean, you could play through it. It's just he'll need surgery in the offseason.
Yeah, yeah. That defense, 4 total turnovers in that game, 2 picks by Minka. that TJ Watt strip sack, and then Mike Hilton chased down the running back, punched it out. Steven Nelson recovered. So overall, a good second half for them. First half was kind of rough until, I guess we could talk about a little bit more if you want, until that 3rd and 20.
Oh, no. The Dolphins coaches should be fired.
I mean, if you know anything about football, when they lined up, you knew, get this ball out quickly, and you're getting the third down. Because they had – it was – I forgot what it's called on Madden, but somebody kept posting a picture on Twitter last night. It was just – it was their all-out blitz.
Engage 8, baby.
Engage 8, yes. Yes, where it was – everybody came flying in there. And the Steelers gave Mason enough time. Look, it was a bad play call, but good on Mason to realize what was going on. Hit his speedster, Deontay Johnson.
It was more, I don't care. It was way more that the Dolphins defense was so bad and less about Mason and Deontay Johnson.
Mason didn't care what you said that whole first half until that play. Give him credit on this. He deserves it. He deserves it.
Touchdown pass.
You couldn't have.
Yes, I could have. It was that bad, and he was that open because nobody covered anybody.
Hey, he made the right read and got a touchdown on it. So, and good for Deontay Johnson running that in. He ran through a couple tackles on that, so you take it. That's about it on the game. It was a good win. Now back to 3-4. Baltimore has some really tough games coming up. They're 5-2. They got New England this week, Sunday Night Football.
Jay, do you honestly believe the Steelers have a chance to make the playoffs and or win the division?
I still do. If you look at the schedule, and I'm a fan. That's how you have to look at it.
I guess you have to have hope.
And then I was also explaining this to my brother-in-law the other day. We were talking about it. He was like, you can't. You just have to accept that the season's over. It's like, I can't. We don't have a first-round pick. You can't accept the season's over.
Yeah, because your first-round picks out there are getting two interceptions against the Dolphins, bro.
Yeah, you're right. It's worth it. But he's here, and we already know what we have with him. So you have to hope that they can push us to either 8-8 or somehow push to get into the playoffs. And you force that pick into the 20s and fuck Miami. So it's – I can't give up hope. I can't. If Mason keeps playing like he did in the first half, the season's going to be over in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, you guys, if you got those tough games coming up, we'll see. It's a little bit different when you're not playing the Dolphins or, I guess, the Chargers because they're not a very good football team.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But the next two games we do have at home, and it's Indy and the Rams. Good, they're at home. I'll take that, but still, that's two really tough matchups. So we'll see.
All right. So we'll be back Thursday with our preview pod. Oh, another thing I wanted to get into. You brought up Madden. Some big news that came out yesterday about the future of NCAA football games, baby. Mm. Yeah. So yesterday, the NFL Players Association and the National College Players Association, they're getting together, and they're exploring how college athletes can be paid for their name, image, and likeness. And then I also saw another report that the NCAA is actually going to start getting together and discussing this same thing.
Good.
So there's a good chance that a college football game will be back sometime in the next, we'll say, 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I agree with that timeline. Yeah.
Oh, dude. I will go bananas if NCAA football 21 or 2 or whatever, 23 is out for PlayStation 5. I will lose my shit because that game, it is amazing. Yep. NCAA football was 1,000 times better than Madden.
I'll never buy Madden again. I'll buy it just to do the rosters, maybe.
Please, God, let the NCAA get their head out of their asses and allow these kids to make some money off of a damn video game. Who cares? these colleges will sell these kids jerseys. They'll sell number, like Ohio State will sell number one jerseys in their pro shop or whatever, in their campus bookstore or whatever. And people are buying that shit because Justin Fields wears that jersey. Yeah. Not because it's just number one Ohio State jersey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't even have to have the name on it.
No, but it's they're buying it because that's who wears that number.
Absolutely.
Let these kids get paid. Let EA Sports make another NCAA football game. And everything will be right in the world.
Yeah, I agree.
That's all I got.
Yeah,
I just wanted to bring that up.
100% agree, and let's go. I need NCAA back, man. I'm tired of playing NCAA 14 on my PS3.
Yeah. Yeah, you literally went out and bought a PS3 just only to do
reason,
that.
Only reason I bought a PS3. Because of how bad Madden is, and I needed a good football game.
Wow. Yep. So, all right. The Eagles have the Chicago Bears at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I'll preview that for Thursday's pod. The Steelers have
Indianapolis Colts, 1 o'clock.
At home?
Yeah.
Man, Steelers schedules, they luck out so much, I swear.
That's still a tough game. Come on.
Oh, it's going to be tough. They're going to lose to the Colts. But we'll talk about that on Thursday and any other big trades that happen, unless something crazy happens today. I might do an emergency pod if it's a huge name.
Yeah, if we have to, yeah. We'll jump back on and release a quick one.
But if not, we'll talk about winners and losers of the trade deadline on Thursday. We'll talk about what the Eagles can do now if they didn't make any moves, or the Steelers as well. So, Jay, let them know it.
Yeah, check us out on Twitter, at @birds_berg. Get us on the Facebook page, the Birds and the Berg podcast. Please like, review, and subscribe on all podcasting sites. Leave us any comments, concerns, anything. Just talk to us on there.
We'll get back to you.
Absolutely.
All right. Sounds good. That was the Birds and the Berg football podcast. We'll catch you on Thursday.